Earlier in the war, my father served as executive officer on a minesweeper. The ship was headed for the Battle of Tarawa, but at the last moment they were sent elsewhere. It was kind of a jip, my father would say. When I was a child and heard him tell this story, I'd imagine him standing on the bridge, watching the lucky battle fleet recede as his own ship sailed away from action. I shared his disappointment for years, even as a teenager, although by then I'd also think, what if he'd gone to Tarawa? Would I still exist? He was shy around my brothers and me, but didn't seem to care if we saw him kiss my mother or heard him call her sweetheart. Walking to school alone one day, I realized I must have been adopted. I didn't look like him. I had brown hair, not black. I was already taller, and he rarely lost his temper. I resembled pictures of my mother's father, though, the long French nose, the high forehead, the myopic eyes. I went off alone into the woods to have my secret fantasies about who my father really was. My own was both too ordinary and too odd. My mother told us we were middle class, a claim most of that post-World War II generation of Americans, especially those on either end of the middle, seemed afraid not to make. Her own family had been well-to-do, and then, when she was still a girl, her father's business failed. A year or two later he died, and they lived on the charity of relatives and the wages of my mother's oldest brother. As for my father, he wasn't rich compared to most of his friends, but the place where he saw wealthier people was the yacht club. Naturally, my mother liked to spend money, and just as predictably, my father hated parting with it. Every week she put a little something from the grocery money into the Christmas club at the A&P. This was fortunate. My father, one Christmas morning, presented to my older brother and me a bunch of underwear he had bought at one of his favorite Manhattan stores. We opened the packages and found T-shirts with one sleeve missing and with outlandishly long waists, long as dresses, all with factory rejects stamped on them. My brother and I looked at each other, but didn't protest until he was out of earshot. We knew he meant the gifts sincerely. He bought his suits at discount stores, two pairs of pants for the price of one. He once gave a New York City cab driver a 10-cent tip, and the man threw it back at him, and when I asked him how that made him feel, my father said, "Well, I was glad to have my dime back." He didn't want my mother to have her own bank account. As a rule, he was grumpy only once a month when paying the household bills himself. "Do you know your mother hides them from me?" he asked me one time with puzzled consternation. But we never wanted for anything essential, and he spent freely on our educations. I went to public school through 8th grade, then to boarding school, Andover, and then, like my father, to Harvard, where he sent me a handsome allowance, which I sometimes squandered on backgammon losses and once on a handmade suit.